Good morning. So this second Sunday of Advent, we continue to be encouraged by the church, by the readings that we have assigned for today, to prepare for the coming of our Lord. And I didn't have the 9 o'clock Mass last week, but those of you who might have been at one of the Masses I preached last week, you heard me preach about how there are three different comings of the Lord that we celebrate in Advent. Just very briefly, review. We look forward to celebrating His first coming at Christmas, His coming in humility and in weakness. But we don't even really begin to see that until the latter part of Advent. In the beginning of Advent, we really look at His second coming, the end of the world, in power and in glory, when He finally comes and sets everything aright. And we don't know when that's going to be. The first coming is 2,000 years in the past. The second coming could be 2,000 years in the future. It could be 2 billion years in the future. It could be in 2 minutes, right? We don't know when that's going to be. But then there's that third coming, which is kind of between the first and the second, the middle coming of Christ, which is here and now. And one of the points I had made was that the humility and weakness that we see in the first coming and the power and glory that we see in His second coming, they're kind of mixed together in this middle coming. Because it's in this middle coming where His power and His glory is often veiled in tiny ways. And of course, the best example are the sacraments. And probably the best example of the sacraments is the Blessed Sacrament. That here we have something that appears to be just a simple tiny piece of bread, but is actually the flesh and blood of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. God Himself, and talk about the power, the glory, that God, the God of the whole universe, has become one of us and has given us His flesh and blood to eat on, and veiling it with the appearances of a tiny piece of bread. So there's a perfect example there of kind of that middle coming, that Christ is coming to meet us here and now in the sacraments, and that's that middle coming that we're really supposed to be focusing on during this Advent season. Because again, that first coming we remember 2,000 years ago, and that second coming, we don't know when that's going to happen, but Christ is coming to meet us now. Christ is coming to meet us now, and I think that's one of the reasons why we have the Advent season, is not just to remember His first coming and to look forward to His second coming, but to make sure that we're meeting Him here and now, so that when He does come again in glory at His second coming, that we'll be ready. And in these readings today, especially in that first reading from the prophet Baruch, and in that gospel reading that we just heard from Luke, we hear some advice, some things that we can do to make sure that we are able to see Him when He comes, that we're able to recognize Him when He comes, that we're able to have the most fruitful encounter possible. Luke recounts that John the Baptist, the great saint of Advent, preparing the way for the Lord, and he speaks out. It says, John appears in the desert and went throughout the whole region of the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance. And look at what he says. We're pretty familiar with this thanks to Handel's Messiah. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain shall be made low, winding roads shall be made straight, rough ways shall be made smooth. John the Baptist is telling us this is what we can do to get ready to meet the Lord when He comes. Sometimes I think we fall into the trap of thinking that, well, God's just going to find me. That I just need to sit here and just, you know, God's going to come and find me. Well, there is some truth to that. Yeah, God does seek us out. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing that we can do to prepare ourselves so that when He comes, we see Him. So that when He comes, it's as fruitful of a reception of Him as possible. You know, in sacramentology, we talk about sacraments being valid and then also licit and then finally fruitful. Valid means like, did the sacrament occur, yes or no? It's pretty hard to make a sacrament invalid. If I were to not say the proper words of institution, then the Mass would be invalid, but that's pretty hard to do, right? But then beyond just being valid, we want it to be licit. We want it to be in accordance with all the liturgical rules of the church. But then even beyond that, we want it to be fruitful. It's not enough just that, okay, well, you know, Father John's validly ordained and he intended to say Mass, and so I was there, and so I fulfilled my Sunday obligation, I attended Mass. Okay, well, yeah, you did. But did you have an encounter with the Lord? It's not enough that we just fulfill our obligation. Yeah, you did that because I'm a valid priest and I said Mass and you were there, right? So, but did you have an encounter with the Lord? Did you do whatever you could do to meet the Lord when he comes? And Baruch talks about these as well. The same thing that John the Baptist was preaching on, citing Isaiah himself. John the Baptist citing Isaiah. Baruch is saying these same things. Every lofty mountain be made low. The age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground. What are those in our own lives? The mountains, perhaps, of our pride, of our arrogance, of our refusal to forgive other people, our grudges. And then the valleys. I think in today's society, we struggle more so with those. Depression, lack of self-worth. We need to fill in those valleys and bring down those mountains and make those winding roads straight. We need to make sure we are doing everything in our power so that when the Lord comes to us in that middle coming, here and now, that we not just meet him, but that we have as fruitful of an encounter as possible. And let's get practical for a quick minute here. When it comes to something like Sunday Mass, are we arriving enough in time to really calm ourselves, calm the kids down, maybe say a little prayer before Mass, kind of call to mind the great mystery into which we are about to enter? Or do we just like rush right through the door and find a chair? Now, again, thank God you're at least coming, and if you're rushing through the door, better that than not to come at all. But the ideal, of course, are, you know, to do everything we can do so that when the Lord comes on this altar, we have not just a box to check, but that we have a wow, an encounter with the crucified and risen Lord. And confession. I could say the same thing about confession. You know, when we go to confession, have we really taken the time to examine our consciences beforehand? Are we really aware of all of the little ways that we may have offended God? And are we really trying to conjure up in ourselves, probably not the best word, contrition for all of those sins? Are we really preparing ourselves to encounter the Lord there in confession? Are we doing everything we can do? And I think, brothers and sisters, that's what the readings are telling us today. To make sure that we are doing everything in our power to encounter the Lord at his coming. So I would encourage all of us today, this week, throughout the rest of this Advent season, to look at our own lives and maybe ask ourselves, what are those things that are getting in the way of me not just meeting the Lord, but meeting him as best and as fruitfully as I possibly can? What are those mountains, those hills? What are those valleys, those gorges? What are those winding roads? What are those rough roads? And then the second step, what can I do? What is within my power to change? And then let's do that.